Welcome to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Talk radio to inspire, inform, and stimulate. Bringing you enlightened discussions with authors, creatives, innovative business and health professionals, and ordinary people living extraordinary lives. Sharing their expertise and life stories. Making a difference, one word at a time. Now here's your host, Vicki St. Clair.
And welcome, everybody. Welcome, welcome. And I want to welcome you to today's show, especially because today is our fourth anniversary. And so we're celebrating here. And of course, I have Eric Ryder in the studio with me, as always. Way to go, Eric. We couldn't do this without Eric right here by our side. So he's always very, very much appreciated. And of course, you for tuning in today. And we've got some great guests lined up for you. I thought I'd indulge myself a little today by talking with three writers, and not just any old writer, but really good writers. Later in the show, we'll be joined by two New York Times bestselling fiction authors, Steve Berry. He's returning to us to talk about his new book, and he's going to be here in Seattle for the whole of this week. So we'll find out about Steve Berry's events and where you can find him this week. And we'll also talk with Andrew Gross, who has had five number one New York Times hits, which he co-authored with James Patterson. He then broke away from James, or I shouldn't say broke away, but he then broke into writing his own books and has written several books and had his own New York Times bestsellers, including The Dark Tide, which was nominated for the Best Thriller of the Year award by the International Thriller Writers. But first, I'm very pleased to be joined for the second time by inspirational author, relationship coach, and spiritual guide Daphne Rose Kingma. Interesting story about how I came to ask Daphne to join us again, but let me tell you first of all about Daphne Rose Kingma. She's been a frequent guest on Oprah. She's appeared on Charlie Rose, CNN, and others, and her work has appeared in numerous publications, including the LA Times, Mademoiselle, and Self. Daphne Rose Kingma is a keynote speaker. She regularly presents workshops across the country, and she specializes in emotional healing. She's written 11 books with more than a million copies in print, and she's also a wonderful poet. Her latest book is called The 10 Things to Do When Your Life Falls Apart. It's been around for quite a while now, but I'm very pleased to welcome Daphne Rose Kingma to the show today. Daphne, welcome.
Thank you, Vicki. It's a joy to be with you again.
And I want to thank you for joining us today because I know you just flew back from France yesterday.
That's right. So Hot off the jet.
There you go. So I wanted to share you, because we talked before about some of the concepts in your book, The 10 Things to Do When Your Life Falls Apart. I wonder if you'd share the story of how you came to write this, because I had just found this out recently.
And
go ahead.
Yes, I'd be happy to. A very dear friend of mine from Europe connected with me and said, you know, I'm going through a very hard time, and is it possible that I could come and be with you in your beautiful world in Santa Barbara, which is where I live. And so he came over, and he was going through a whole bunch of life crises all at once. You know, his marriage was falling apart. He'd just been diagnosed with a very debilitating and probably ultimately fatal disease. And he'd lost his job, and he'd had to move. And then he just got himself settled in a new place, and then he was told that he'd have to move from there. So all these categories of his life were affected, and he came here, and we just took quiet time together. And then as he was ready to go home one day, coming back down on a hike, he said to me, Daphne, can you just tell me the 10 things I'll need to do to get through all this? And I remember being very affected and thinking, oh my goodness, that's like telling me to write a book. And I realized that indeed he was the messenger for so many people of, you know, what needed to be done, because so many people are going through situations like that that are so extremely difficult. And so he became the messenger and the inspiration for the book. And yes,
great
that's
story.
How it came to pass. And I'm always inspired by, you know, one person's circumstance and one person's need, because I think that it's so often the case, as is true for all of us, that we speak not just for ourselves, but we speak for the human condition in some way.
Right. And the reason I asked you to come back on the show was kind of serendipitous too. But, I'm not a woo-woo person, but my assistant and I were cleaning out a back room because, as you can imagine, I have tons and tons of books.
I can imagine.
So we were going to put all of the books in the back room. And there was a pile of books. Your book was in one of the piles. And Jen said to me, what do you want to do with this pile? I said, let me just look through the books. Well, I accidentally dropped yours on the floor. And I picked it up. And I was like, oh, I remember this. This was a good book. And I started flipping through it. And it fell open to a page that said a subtopic of I'll Always Have Paris.
Oh, amazing.
And I love Paris. And so I started reading it. And the whole chapter was called Do Something Different. And this was, I thought, okay, we have to have Daphne back because I'm at that point where I need to do something different.
Wow.
And that's how come I got in touch with you again.
Well, and it's so amazing because when you got in touch with me, I was in Paris. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's sort of another whole level of serendipity, I was there in the very place that I had been speaking about in the book. Yeah, wonderful.
Yeah. So we've talked about, living in crisis. We're living in, you say, agonizing yet glorious times right now. Tell me expand on that a little bit for me, if you would.
Well, we're living in times of great change. We see it in the economic world, internationally, Greece, our own budgetary problems, the dialogue, the difficulty of coming to peace and agreement about that. So many people in financial crisis, the gas prices, food prices, it's like we're not just coasting along the way we used to, kind of imagining that everything's going to just swim in our direction. And we've seen all sorts of natural catastrophes in our own country and elsewhere. And there's just a feeling that things are very churned up. Our reality is very churned up. We don't seem to be in charge of it as we used to fantasize we were. And so my experience in working and talking with people is just that over and over in so many dramatic ways, people are going through, something very challenging. A woman walks home and finds her husband's having an affair and her 30-year marriage is over. A person has a child who's diagnosed with a, deadly disease. It's like, so those are personal versions of it, but I think in general we're feeling that we're living in a churned-up world.
Definitely. Do you have, I wanted to just read this. You say human life is a journey of evolution, which is, we've talked about before. You say it's not a holding tank, and I love that because I think so many of us get stuck in that status quo. And it's difficult for us to step out of a comfort zone. Sometimes we think we're in pain, but we're still at a comfortable level. How do we start to break out of that comfort zone if it's causing us pain, but it's still that comfort zone?
Yes, the pain is familiar, and so we're willing to settle with it. Well, as I talk about in the book, often a crisis is the kickstart to making change, but if you'd like to avoid the crisis, then it takes some real soul-searching and saying, I always ask myself the question, what else do I want and need out of my life? What do I want to offer? What is my purpose in my life? What do I need? The question I always ask myself is, what do I need to accomplish or experience so that when my life is over, I'm not lying on my deathbed saying, oh, gee, I wish I'd always meant to blah, 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 and find that I haven't done that, mm-hmm. Most essential thing. And so a crisis is a great motivator to make these discoveries. But if you, as I said, like to avoid the, be ahead of the crisis, it's like mail early before everybody else is at the post office, do the soul searching early, I think you can discover some things. And, in my own life, I've, paused at times and made huge upheaving changes that, you know, when I was in the midst of them, I thought I was a complete lunatic. You know, why did I sell my house? Why did I sell my car? Why did I move to another state? Why did I decide I wanted to write poetry? You know, but when you take these leaps of faith and move in a different direction, life and the force comes in and supports you, and you get led to something new. And I think that's something we often forget when we are, you know, inhabiting the status quo. It's like, well, here I am. Nothing's really too bad. Why not just hang out here? But I think all these things are questions of purpose and meaning. You know, I think, you know, we have this life that we're living is the only life we know of right now. You know, we may have thousands of past lives, but we're not connected with them in this moment. And so there's the question of what is it that you're wanting to have, to experience, to complete in this particular life? And in terms of purpose and in terms of experience.
I loved that you called this the crisis. The crisis is the thumbtack on the seat of your soul.
Yes,
if nothing's going to wake you up, a thumbtack on the soul will do it for you. Let's talk about I'll Always Have Paris, because I mentioned, you know, that the book had fallen open to this page. And this was a crisis of your own in a way that you realized, you woke up and realized you wanted to do something different. Happened about 20 years ago. I wonder if you'd share that with us.
Yes, I did. It was a very, very, very demanding time in my life. And I was out to dinner with a friend, and he sort of casually asked me on the way home, well, what do you want to do this weekend? And it just came out of my mouth out of nowhere. You know, I said, I want to go to Paris for the weekend. And I was in Los Angeles when I had this conversation, and I drove home, and I realized on the drive home, I thought, wow, I really would. Why couldn't I do that? You know, what would I have to pull together to do it? And so the next day, I just scrambled like crazy, and I got a visa, and I bought an airplane ticket, and I drove back down to Los Angeles and parked my car at the airport and was on a plane the next afternoon. And it was my catching the wave of my discontent to do something different and to just go in a different direction. And because I had such a powerful time there, I said to myself, this is something I should do every year. I mean, I didn't say it at the time. The year later, I just said, wow, you know, I'm feeling the same way and I need to do this. And so it's become a habit of rejuvenation for me to go there. As I said earlier, I was just there, Vicki, when you connected with me.
Yes,
and, you know, it's a place of depth and renewal for me, and I've done a lot of creative work there. But I wouldn't have taken that leap, I wouldn't have added that dimension to my life if I hadn't just, you know, heard myself at that moment say, I want to go to Paris for the weekend, and no matter what a harebrained, wild idea that was, just said, okay, I'm going to do it, you know? What's stopping me? I can make this happen. And, you know, I think we all have opportunities like that. They may not be as kind of dramatic and, you know, international as that, but we can all, you know, catch the tail of the kite and say, okay, where do I want to sail to in my life? What have I been thinking of doing that I'm not letting myself do? What do I need to do to get there? How can I get there, you know? What can I let go of to get there? What do I need to risk to get there?
And that's, I want to just back up there, because I think letting go of stuff is really important for us to be able to make those changes. You know, sometimes we're in a situation that's good, and it's hard to break out because we think, well, I wonder if there is anything better out there.
Yes,
and so
yes.
I think oftentimes when a situation is good is when we tend to be stuck in that holding tank.
That is so true, Vicki. That's such an important point, because the future, of course, is always invisible to us. We can look at the past, both the good and the bad, and we can say, well, that was bad. I don't want to go there again. Or we could say, that's good. I hope, you know, something will be as good as that. But we don't have vision of the future, and so it's hard for us to envision and imagine that something better will show up for us. And so we often, you know, as you are making such a strong point of it today, and I think it's so important for all of us, you know, me too, because I'm at a turning point again in my life, mm-hmm. to hear that, you know, it's very easy to stay with the status quo. And in fact, it's a basic law of physics that, you know, it takes so much more energy to initiate motion than to keep a motion happening. You know, it takes more energy to start your car than to just drive your car down the road, you know, once the engine is ignited. And so we're working against that law of physics when we take an initiative. And so then toss into that the fact that you're afraid and you can't see the future. It's like, oh, my goodness, where am I going and where is this going to lead? And is there going to be anything out there? But, you know, in years of my life and my work with people, especially, you know, when they're leaving relationships, it's always like, oh, this is the last time I'm ever going to love anybody or anybody's going to love me or my life is going to feel good. And I have never worked with a person who's ended a relationship and later says, wow, I wish I were back there,
right.
You know, because life brings us new things, but it can only bring us new things when we've completed something. It's like when we're occupied with a relationship or an undertaking, we're occupied, and so life can't bring us anything new.
Right. I want to, that just sparked something that I'd scribbled in the book as I was reading through it last week, because when a relationship of mine ended that was a very strong, very powerful, very close relationship, you know, I realized now that I was holding on to that relationship and I was being that person's anchor because they were going through difficult times. When I really wanted to fly, and I had an incredible amount of frustration toward the end of that relationship. And it just hit me when I was reading this. You know, I was being that person's anchor when I really, really wanted to fly.
Oh, such a different form of energy, because an anchor is a weight and flying is freedom, mm-hmm. and lightness, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I love the fact that you call it a gift of aliveness when we do something like this for ourselves and we have an emotional, do something different experience. It is a gift of aliveness to ourselves.
Yes, it is, because, again, when we're in the status quo, we're not, you know, status clone, I almost said. You know, it's like we're living a clone of our own experience as opposed to a possibility. And you know, doing something different always creates a different energetic experience in our bodies and in our consciousness. It's like, wow, there's more to life than, you know, my little rat maze that I've been walking around for however long I've been walking around in it. And we suddenly get charged up with that, and it becomes really, you know, really beautiful and alive. And so, you know, I think the question that we need to ask ourselves always is about, you know, what do we want our life to mean or be? You know, those are the ancient philosophical questions, of course, but when we ask that question, then sometimes we can get a move on, you know. It's like, well, I'd like it to be a little more than it is. You know, I'm scared to jump off the high dive, but, you know, maybe that water is going to feel fabulous when it splashes on my face. I'm willing to take that risk.
Now, I know that you specialize in relationships, in healing emotions. On your website, you say, in the end, nothing we do or say in this lifetime will matter as much as the way we loved one another. And you said that as part of our global Do Something Different, we're called, among other things, to live con amore. Talk a little about that, if you
will. Yes. Well, con amore means, it's Italian, it means with love, you know. And we've come out of so many seasons of history. It's like, they're doing bad things to us, so we're going to do bad things to them. They see the world differently than we do, so we're going to wipe them out. You know, it's like this, it's the consciousness of self and other, of difference. It's not a consciousness of unity. And, I mean, I think we're seeing in so many profound, dramatic ways right now, you know, how we are all interrelated. And I think that's one of the gifts you know, one of the profound, actually spiritual gifts of technology is that we can't be isolated from what's going on in other parts of the world. We can't not hear about, you know, the nuclear reactor in Japan. We can't not wonder if those specs are going to come over to us. And, you know, beyond just the fact of, you know, is it going to damage us, we realize that, you know, people over there are suffering and dying, and we want to give them our aid, and we are moved by their anguish. And so, you know, peoples and countries that in the past were so far away we weren't even aware of them are now a part of our daily life. And so the love energy is really to say, you know, we've got to get over our separation, because when we step into that consciousness of connection, then we feel whole ourselves, for one thing. We no longer feel isolated. We no longer feel useless and powerless. We feel this beautiful energy of connection. And that is what, you know, I think love means on a global basis. It also means very profoundly, what are we doing about this planet that we live on? I mean, there's been a lot of talk about that. It's almost hackneyed, but, you know, it's a devastating reality what is becoming of the body of the earth through human, you know, engagement and mm-hmm. indulgence with it. And I think we are beginning to see people, and I'm always so inspired by the work of young people, you know, who have a fresh eye on this and are doing all sorts of dramatic things to say, hey, we've got to, you know, you people ahead of us have been pigs and taken what you wanted, but we're here to restore and renew. And so that's the nature of love in relation to this, you know, land that we've been given to have our human experience on.
Right, right.
So all of these things are, you know, the global crisis is inviting this kind of change, this kind of doing something different, and this kind of doing something different that really comes from a consciousness of love.
And you talk about, you know, saving your own life by doing something different. And it doesn't have to be, as you said earlier, something as dramatic or international as flying to Paris for the weekend.
Right, right.
And making that an annual retreat. I mean, it can be something as simple as smiling at everybody you meet.
It can be something as simple as smiling at everybody you meet. It can be something as simple as saying, you know, instead of getting out of bed every day and grumbling about what I have to do today, starting the day by taking a walk around the block, you know, looking at, I had an injury a couple years ago and I couldn't walk on the beach where I often like to walk, and I started walking on the streets, which were more stable under my body. And it was amazing the things that I found as I walked. And, you know, I didn't do this, although I've done it at times in the past. I thought I could make the most amazing art object just out of the weird things that I found when I was walking along. And I thought, you know, you drive down the street, you don't see all the weird, interesting things that people have dropped or that are growing in the weeds or whatever. And so anytime we expand our world, our reality, we feel more alive. It's like, wow, look at that. You know, look at that gold sheriff star I found in the back of somebody's, you know, on the sidewalk in front of somebody's house in the middle of their weeds. You know, it's like we get a sense of the magic of life, and we get a sense that there's beauty and possibility. And so it can be a very small thing. It doesn't have to be something that costs any money or, you know, means you have to make a giant life change. You know, another practice that I find very amazing is just, you know, when you engage with a person, asking them one simple question. It's amazing what you learn about not just that person, but about humanity in general by engaging in that way.
Yes, yes. And not writing people off just because you look at them and think, I have nothing in common with this person.
Exactly.
They don't
exactly
look as though they have anything interesting to say.
Yes, exactly.
And once we get to this point and we start making change, it is a case, as you say in the book, of practice, practice, practice.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen overnight.
That's so true. And just as, you know, we didn't get in our habits, in our ruts, you know, just by doing whatever, you know, for one day. We've entrenched ourselves through practice. You know, it may not have been very conscious practice, but we've entrenched ourselves by doing the same thing over and over and over. And so it's very important to give ourselves the opportunity to do something different over and over. And the other thing is, I think there are two ways that are good to look at about doing something different. One is taking that initial step, you know, like in that story where I heard myself say, I want to go to Paris for the weekend, and just acting on that. But then there is the practice part of saying, do I really want my life to keep moving in that direction? The person who gets up and goes for a walk in the morning and, you know, says, this is going to make my body feel better, and at the end of a year, I will have lost 15 pounds or whatever, you know, so that we can keep moving in the direction of a change. We can keep taking ourselves over there, you know. And there, of course, I mean, in a way, it's a spiritual practice because there are, of course, many things that come up. It's, as you were saying, Vicki, you know, well, how do I know the future is going to be better than the past? This is pretty darn good. Why don't I just hang on to this, you know? But to, you know, that's where the intention to allow something bigger and more beautiful to manifest, you know, and usually a person has an idea about that, you know. For me right now, it's about my creative life, you know. I want to allow more time and space and inspiration and colleagueship with my life as a poet and as an artistic person, as opposed to just simply the person who's been the healer. I will continue to do that, but I have this growing edge in my own life. So that means I need to make room for that every day. I need to connect with people who hold that as a value. I need to, you know, do some, sometimes that may mean for me going to a workshop or just going to a quiet place, you know, so that I can attend to this part of myself as opposed to just talk about it as an idea. So it does take practice. It takes intention. And sometimes I think I didn't include this in the book because this really isn't a book about doing something different, although, you know, I think that a person can say this is very important and then look at what are the steps that you would have to do to get from where you are now to that place that would, that would be an expression of what it is that you want to create in your life, you know?
Yeah, and I think you expressed that very eloquently. I couldn't have said that better. And that is where I feel I'm at, which is why it was so serendipitous when I opened your book.
You're on a brink too, Vicki.
I think we go through these things. You know, somebody once said to me a long time ago, well, when are you going to settle? And to me, I just say dust settles. You know?
Oh, beautiful. I like that.
I just think if we're not constantly growing, for me, if I'm not constantly growing and expanding and exploring and experiencing, then what's the point? There has to be that growth and that challenge there. Well, I'm so glad we managed to connect with you.
me too. It's perfect, and I think it's an inspiration to both of us, and I'm sure, and I trust and hope to everyone who's listening that, you know, when you take that step of moving in a different direction, it's not just that you take one little step in that direction, but it's that your whole life starts moving in a different direction, and that's very exciting. I often use the example of a big ocean liner out in the middle of the ocean. You know, at a certain point, the captain turns the wheel maybe 1 inch, but it makes a difference whether the boat is going to go to South America or North America.
Yes.
And that's why these, you know, initial steps that we take are so profound, because they really point us in a, you know, point us in a new direction and say, you know, where are you going? And
And even keep us on track if we're, you know, heading. So it's very easy to get off track. And I know my father's almost dying words to me were, stay on track. No matter what.
Oh, wow.
No matter what happens, stay on track. And I periodically, you know, think of that. It's coming up to the, you know, the, I don't want to say the anniversary of his death, but, you know, he died in August. I think of that constantly. And I try to remember that when I'm making decisions. But sometimes, as you say in the book, we get caught up in life and we just say yes to this and yes to that without taking the time to really think about it. And so, yeah, this was very serendipitous for me.
Yes. And I guess I want to just add sort of one more word as a capstone, and that is that we are the conscious creators of our life. You know, crisis comes and life dishes out its stuff to us, but we do have the privilege as human beings of saying, I want to go in a different direction. I choose to initiate something. I am going to be the creator of change. And I think just being reminded of that is very powerful and important too.
Yeah. Well, Marianne Williamson, author of A Return to Love, said about your book that anyone going through a dark night of the soul needs to have this book. It will be your closest companion, your most tender angel. Daphne Rose Kingmer more than speaks to your soul. She knows how to heal it. And I have enjoyed really talking to you both times we've talked.
Thank you. Me too, Vicki. I'd like to mention, just for people to check out the book and some
I'm going to give that out. I'd like you to tell them what you'd like to leave them with, and we'll definitely give out your website and the book. The book is
wonderful.
Called The 10 Things
wonderful.
To Do
well,
When Your
dare
Life Falls
to
Apart.
Do something, dare to do something different. You know, capture the power of your humanity by, you know, taking a risk and recreating your life, you know, by a step or a moment, you know, or by a long unfolding path.
Perfect. And they listeners can find Daphne's website. You can find her website at daphnekingmer.com. And it's spelled D-A-P-H-N-E and King with an M-A on the end, daphnekingmer.com. And you've got a lot of resources up there, too. Tell us a little bit about what you have up there on the site, Daphne.
Well, I have all my books, as you mentioned earlier, Vicki. I have all of my books, which have been about relationships, healing, creating, building, renewing, getting over relationships. And also, I do individual work with people who are going through powerful life transitions. And I work with people on the phone and in groups and workshops. And there's always information about workshops. I have a few. I don't think there are any right now, a few coming up in this fall that will be posted shortly. So there are many.
And you do them in the most beautiful places on earth, like Santa Barbara and Big Sur, California.
I do. I'm a blessed woman.
Oh, my goodness me.
I'm a very blessed woman.
Yeah. Well, so, I thank you for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
My great joy. Thank you, Vicki.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
And you can find out more about Daphne and her work again at daphnekingmer.com. And her book, her latest book, is called The 10 Things to Do When Your Life Falls Apart. There's some really great information in here. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
Well, if you've been to cities but you've had enough, have you been to Paris, France? And if you doubt that Paris was made for love, give Paris one more chance. The home of Piaf and Chevalier must have done something right to get passion this way. If you don't think Paris was made for love, give Paris one more chance.
Parkinson's disease affects as many as 1 million people in the United States. At the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, it's our mission to beat this disease. To learn about the Parkinson's Disease Foundation, or if you want to help support our work, visit our website, pdf.org, or call us at 800-457-6676. In the Northwest, contact the Northwest Parkinson's Foundation at nwpf.org. www.parkinsonsdisease.org.
You listen to us, now we want to hear from you. We're ready to listen as you tell us about yourself, the radio programs you love, and your likes and dislikes. All you have to do is log on to 1150kknw.com, that's 1150kknw.com, and fill out the 2011 Alternative Talk Listener Survey. As a thank you, you will be entered to win a trip for two to Victoria, BC, including transportation, lodging, and continental champagne breakfast. Log on to 1150kknw.com because we're listening. Contest rules and details online at 1150kknw.com.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. Listen to podcasts of past shows at conversationslive.net.
Don't touch that dial. You might miss something life-changing. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. Well, we are celebrating our fourth anniversary today of Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair right here on KKNW. And I'm just going to have a little chat with my colleague here, Eric Ryder.
Thank you. Your co-colleague.
I was thinking champagne. It was a cooker word.
Yes.
And I really want to thank you for everything you've done for helping us get through the last 4 years. And even before that, because I worked with you with Positive Choice Radio before that for 3 years.
That's right. That's right. And we've been working together probably about 5 years now.
It's about seven, actually.
Really?
Yeah, 7 years. Because I was with them 3 years.
That's right. That's right.
And yeah. I was thinking on the drive up here.
Feels like five.
Oh.
That's
I guess
it's gone by
thing.
That quick.
But I was thinking on the drive up here how funny it was. The very first show I did with Positive Choice Talk Radio, right? And because I'd had no radio broadcast experience whatsoever. I'm a writer. Mm-hmm. And I had just started producing way back then.
And a very good one.
Thank you. Thank you. But, you know, primarily I was writing. And I got this call out of the blue to say, we'd like you to come down and do some interviews on radio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and do you remember I walked into the studio? I was like, I barely made it to the first break. I was so afraid to breathe in case my breathing came over the microphone.
I remember you being pretty natural, actually.
You said that, but I think I think it's because I'd been in a professional world for so long. You sometimes learn to fake it, you know, but inside, I could hardly breathe. And I remember when you took us to first break after we'd been live for about 10 minutes. And I remember collapsing my head on the desk and going, now I can breathe.
Well, I don't think that any of the listeners were any of the wiser that you were terrified inside. So I think that goes to show that you're made of stern stuff.
Well, you know, one thing that I've learned as a writer, and I'll share this, is that I've done some interviews with some really big names for several articles and feature series that I was writing. And it's surprising to me, or it was surprising to me back then when I first started freelancing like 12 years ago or so, how many of those people who are in the public eye all the time and are used to doing hundreds of interviews a year
mm-hmm.
and are really well-known international names, how many of them get very nervous when you do an interview with them?
A lot of people that have a public person are actually very shy and very reserved, but have to put on the, you know, public face, you know, to get out there and do what they do.
Mm.
So
yeah, they do. And we've done, I don't know how many shows we've done now or how many people we've talked to on the show Conversations Live with Vicky St. Clair. I don't know how many people we've talked with. I should count that up one day. But
quite a few.
Do any of them stand out in your mind as, you know, there's so many. People always ask me, who was your favorite person to interview? And I can't answer that question.
You know, it is a tough one. You know, I've put up on the station's Facebook that we're celebrating 4 years today, and I'm waiting to hear what other people are saying about that,
idea.
Too. But, you know, they've all been very interesting, very different shows, but all very good. You know, and I'm struggling to think of his name, but you had an author on that had a movie about rock climbing based on his life and Into the Void, I believe.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. The gentleman that was in that story, I believe, that was pretty compelling stuff. And actually, you know, I'm not a mountain climber by any means, but you've actually had a couple different mountain climbers on. And they've all been very interesting. And I'm still not sure why people put their lives in their hands like that, or take that risk. But it is interesting to hear them talk about it, you know?
Yeah. And I mean, we live not too far from Mount Rainier because we live, you and I mm-hmm. both live down South Sound. So, you know, this morning it's really popped as I was coming over by the bridge, the Tacoma Narrows Bridge. And it was really popped out this morning. And I thought of our guest, was it last week?
Yeah.
She had climbed Kay LeClaire.
Yeah, that's another
62,
one that I was thinking of too. Yeah.
And the week before she had mm-hmm. she'd just done Mount Rainier, and of course she had done all seven summits.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm certainly not a mountaineer myself, and you know, I don't even like walking uphill, to be honest. And I always tell people I can only ride my bike on the flat. But I think that the fascination for me with mountaineers and people who put their life on the line like that is at the end of the day they are just ordinary people. But they're going out and they're doing something really extraordinary with their lives. So let's move on right now. Eric's just gone to answer the phone. He's going to bring on our second guest. Unfortunately, Andrew Gross didn't call in today. So he's obviously got something, an emergency on his plate. But we are going to be joined by Steve Berry in just a moment. At least I hope that's Steve Berry on the phone. But I want to tell you, first of all, about a couple of things that are going on right now. One of them is, of course, the KKNW survey. And if you go to 1150, the numbers 1150, kknw.com, click on the words 2011 listener survey that are at the top of the page, and you can...
There's a big check mark. Just look for that.
There's a big check mark. A mm-hmm. big red one, I think. Red and white. I don't know. It doesn't matter what color.
I think it's black.
There's a big check mark anyway. Just check on that. Click on that and it will take you to the survey. And you'll get a chance if you go ahead and enter in that and answer the questions on that. You'll get a chance to be entered into the drawing, which is a pretty nice drawing. It's let's have a look.
For two to Victoria, BC.
That sounds
on the
pretty
Victoria
good to
Clipper.
Me.
Yeah.
A nice little escape there. So, again, go to 1150kknw.com if you'd like to enter. And you also get a chance to kind of, you know, have some say in what kind of programs go on KKNW. So
yeah,
here's
we love
your
having
opportunity.
The feedback. I got to say, another guest that I thought was great, just getting back to that real quick, was Estelle Getty.
Oh.
From the Golden Girls.
No, Rue McClanahan.
It was Rue McClanahan.
Rue McClanahan.
Sorry.
I was
my
having
memory's
a little
all
brain
jumbled,
then.
But yeah, Rue McClanahan, that's right, the Southern one, the Southern Belle. She was great. She was.
So many people love that interview, yeah. And you know the reason I did that interview is for my mom.
I know, and that's why it stood out in my mind because you had talked to Rue about what a big fan your mom was,
yes.
And it was a really nice moment.
Yeah. And my mother
was
just
very
thrilled.
Touched by it.
My mother was thrilled that Rue said hello to her. So anyway. All right. Well, we're going to take just a quick break. And when we come back, we'll be joined by my next guest, best-selling author Steve Berry. Please do stay with us. You're listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair.
It's a celebration. Celebrate good times. Come on. Let's celebrate.
Do something different with your spare time. Give baby animals at Paws a fresh start. With the assistance of caring volunteers, Paws helps hundreds of orphaned and sick kittens and puppies each year. Join us and save lives. Become a Paws foster care volunteer. For more information, visit paws.org or 425-787-2500. Paws.org or 425-787-2500.
Blogwell returns to Seattle August 9th and is offering listeners of Conversations Live a special 33% discount. Learn how big brands use social media to increase sales, drive web traffic, and raise awareness, and how you can apply the same methods to grow your business or career. Blogwell facilitator and consultant Andy Cernovitz is the go-to expert in word-of-mouth marketing. Reserve your seat today by signing up at socialmedia.org/blogwell. And enter your discount code VickySentMe to save 33% off the registration price. See full details at socialmedia.org. And remember your discount, VickySentMe. That's all one word, VickySentMe.
Hi, this is Julie Forbes. Join me on Wednesday afternoons from 2 to 3 p.m. for the Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. Listen to discussions on dog-related topics and call in to voice your opinion or ask my opinion about your dog. We will talk about everything from dog behavior to pet food to dog training programs in prisons. The Dog Talk Show, an evolved perspective on life with dogs. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. Tune in Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. on Alternative Talk 1150.
Hi, I'm Andrea Kay, America's leading career expert. I know it's going to be a great conversation when Vicki St. Clair asked me to offer my career advice on her show. Vicki asks thoughtful questions, she's thorough, she works hard to bring you great guests who walk their talk with information and solutions that can lift your career and better your life so that you'll live well, live strong. My advice? Tune into our conversations and all the interviews on Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair for thought-provoking insight and tips on the things that really matter in your life. And visit AndreaKay.com, that's Andrea, K-A-Y.com, for information about my books and loads of free practical advice and inspiration for your career.
You listen to us, now we want to hear from you. We're ready to listen as you tell us about yourself, the radio programs you love, and your likes and dislikes. All you have to do is log on to 1150kknw.com, that's 1150kknw.com, and fill out the 2011 Alternative Talk Listener Survey. As a thank you, you will be entered to win a trip for two to Victoria, BC, including transportation, lodging, and continental champagne breakfast. Log on to 1150kknw.com because we're listening. Contest rules and details online at 1150kknw.com.
Thanks for listening to Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Follow me on Twitter at Vicki St. Clair.
1150kknw.com. It's why they invented the internet. We think. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
One day.
And welcome back, everyone. Welcome back. We are celebrating 4 years on the air today with Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Thank you for being with us. And we're celebrating this segment with one of America's best-known authors, Steve Berry. He's the New York Times best-selling author of 9 novels. His books have been translated into 40 languages and sold in 51 countries. He lives in the historic city of St. Augustine, Florida. And he and his wife, Elizabeth, founded History Matters, which is a nonprofit organization dedicated to preserving our heritage. I want to welcome Steve Berry back to the show. Thank you for being with us, Steve.
Great to be here.
Well, this book is a little departure, I understand, from the 6 previous Cotton Malone adventures that you've written, because it's mostly set in the U.S.
Yes.
Why the change?
Well, I knew somewhere along in the series Cotton was going to come home for an adventure. He's been to Europe, he's been to Central Asia, he's been to China, he's been all over, and I knew at some point I was going to bring him home, and it worked out that book 7 became the book that he came home for his very first domestic adventure, and he gets caught up, you know, with this very interesting clause from the United States Constitution.
And so tell us a little bit about the book. Go into a little bit more detail about what happens and...
Well, there's 4 presidents that have been assassinated in our history, in 1865, 1881, 1901, and 1963. And what if they were all killed for the same reason? And the reason is a clause in the United States Constitution, a clause contained in Article 1, Section 8. And it's a clause that gives Congress the power to grant letters of marque. Letters of marque is nothing more than the power of Congress to hire pirates to work for the United States government and to steal on behalf of the United States government. And it's a clause that's in our Constitution. It's been there since the beginning. And so I fashioned this modern-day thriller with Cotton Malone around that, dealing with a code from Thomas Jefferson that's real, modern-day pirates, a mystery concocted by Andrew Jackson, all kinds of cool stuff.
Mm. Now, David Baldacci, also another of my favorite thriller writers, says this is one of the most spellbinding and ingenious openings in all of thrillerdom.
That was very kind of him. It made me blush when I saw that. Yeah.
So I know that you do a lot of research on your books. In fact, I have to say this to anybody who's not read your books, Steve, that I find reading the bit at the end as good as reading the novel itself.
Hey, that's the author's note that I put in the back, because I think it's only fair that the reader know what's real and what's not. So I spend a lot of time on that author's note. It's just not a paragraph or two. It's like 6 or 7 pages. It takes me about a week to write it. And I make very clear that I go through and get everything so the reader will know. About 90% though of what I do is true.
Yeah. Yeah, and what isn't, you separate that out so we know what is true and what isn't. And you also give us a little bit more background. And, you know, one of the things that I was fascinated by in this story, because as a child and even as an adult, one of my favorite rides, I'm going to confess, is Pirates of the Caribbean at Disneyland.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like it too.
And I've always been fascinated by pirates and the life they live. And you say at the back of the book that fiction and Hollywood has done them a great disservice that a pirate ship is actually one of the earliest examples of a working democracy. So yep. Tell us a little bit about pirates, if you will.
Pirates were not anything like what Hollywood has depicted them at. The real pirates were a very unique group of people who had a very set of rules that governed themselves. They were not just crazy people who went out and did wild things. They had a way of doing things, and their society was very orderly, and a ship was very much like that. The image of a pirate captain beating up on his crew and being merciless and cruel to them is laughable, because a pirate captain was elected by the crew, and they can unelect him as fast as they elect him. He was elected because they thought he was the guy that could go and find the most amount of booty for them so they could make the most amount of money from their adventure. Not for him to be cruel and all to them. If he was, they'd vote him out, they'd put him on the next spit of land they found, and they'd move on and elect another one of them as captain. So it's a very interesting society, and in this book you're going to learn what pirates were really like.
Yeah, it's fascinating. It's fascinating. Well, listen, you're going to be up here this week, and so I want to make sure that we have time to get out where you're at. So let's talk about that now. I know August 4th through the 7th, you're going to be at the Pacific Northwest Writers Association at the Writers Conference in Seattle. I used to be on the board of directors of that, by the way.
Okay.
You're also going to be August 5th, you have at 6:30, you have a joint appearance with James Rowland's at Third Place Books, which everybody knows, Buffalo Way. August 6th, tell us what's happening August 6th.
August 6th is going to be very interesting. Part of the History Matters Foundation that Elizabeth and I founded, we're coming up to do a writer's workshop at the Museum of History and Industry. You can still sign up for that. You can go to my website at steveberry.org and click on events and find the History Matters event there and sign up for it. It's going to be 4 hours of intense craft of writing. We're going to teach you a lot about the craft of writing. Every dime that you spend, I believe it's about $80 is the registration. Every dime of that is going to go to the museum. I don't charge anything to come or anything. I'm doing this as a fundraiser for them. Jim Rollins is going to teach a little bit there. Elizabeth will teach a little bit, and I'm going to teach some. And you're going to get a pretty good day of the craft of writing. So all those writers out there will really find this a very, very productive use of 4 hours of their time. It starts at 9:00 on Saturday, and you can sign up, as I said, at steveberry.org. And then that afternoon, Jim and I are going to be at the Mystery Bookstore at 3:00 for an appearance.
So lots going on. And you mentioned Elizabeth a couple of times, and Elizabeth, of course, is your wife.
Yes.
Yeah.
She does, and her and I run the foundation together, and she teaches a very good session on the business of writing during our seminar.
And it is a business.
Yes, it is.
Important thing for people to remember. So let's give those times out again. August 6th, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m., History Matters event.
That will be at the museum itself. And you can register there. If you just come on down to the museum at 9:00, you can register on site. And then at 3:00, I'll be at the Mystery Bookstore.
Sounds good. And a final thought you'd like to leave our listeners with real quick?
I'd like to see as many of them as I can while I'm up there this weekend. So hopefully you'll come out to all the events. And if you get a chance, check out The Jefferson Key. It's a cool book. I think you'll like it. And you can find out all about me and my books at steveberry.org.
There we go. Very succinct. Thank you so much, Steve. Appreciate you being with us today.
Thank you, ma'am. All right. Bye-bye.
And that sounds like a lot of fun. So again, you can check out steveberry.org if you want more information on that. And I want to thank all of you for celebrating our anniversary with us today. Thanks to Eric Ryder. Thank you for he bought me a bottle of champagne. Thank you, Eric. You are the man.
Cheers.
I said we should have cracked it open now, but it probably wouldn't have been a good idea since we both have to continue working the rest of the day.
That's right. But enjoy it in good health.
I do appreciate it. And I appreciate every one of you being with us today and every week as far as you can join us. We'll be back next week. Until then, live well, live strong.
Psychedelic healing was popular in the 60s before being thrown out by the medical field. Is it coming back? Hear how it helped ease Dr. Howell's daughter through the final stages of cancer. We'll also catch up with Tuscarino about her new TV show on Oprah's network. And we'll hear from former Baywatch day Alexander Paul about what's missing from our environmental to-do lists. Join us next week at noon Pacific for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. See guest information and schedule at conversationslive.net. And be sure and friend Vicki on Facebook. Just search for Vicki St. Clair.